Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We celebrate Christmas and we look back at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but let me remind you of this. Jesus did not come looking back except to look back at our sin. He looked back at what had taken place. He looked back at the fact that we had done wrong, and because of our sin, we were separated from Him. Jesus looked forward to our restoration. Jesus looked forward to us becoming like Him. Jesus looked forward to a point where He would make it possible for us again to be reconciled to Him. In order to do that, He had to come to this world, a world filled with darkness. He had to come as light in the midst of the darkness. We are here by candlelight tonight, and with a few extra lights so that we can read the Bible. But the whole idea of the candlelight is to remind us that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus came into this world to shed light. Jesus came into this world to lighten us. We were in darkness. And the Bible says that when we got saved, we were translated out of the darkness of this world into the kingdom of His dear Son. Jesus said to His apostles, after making it very clear to them that He was the light of the world, in Matthew chapter 5, He reverses that, it seems. He says to His apostles, and this is just really amazing, He says to His apostles, Greg, it's good to see you. I'm glad they were benign tumors. Praise the Lord for that. That's great. Yeah, that's worth clapping for. That's wonderful. Brianna Schur, 2 months old, this morning went in for surgery, and she had a lump on her head, and went in there, and she went in about 8:30 this morning for surgery, and came through the surgery. If any of you are wondering or know the Schurs, I came through the surgery wonderfully, and the doctor said everything was very successful. So that's two bits of good news that I got today, and thank the Lord for that. So it's good to see you there, Greg, and you just messed up my message. So Jesus said something wonderful. He said this. Just had to go back and look at the book, get right on page. Jesus said this. He said, I am the light of the world, but in Matthew chapter 5, He seems to reverse Himself. Because in Matthew chapter 5, He looks at His apostles and He says, ye are the light of the world. But why? Because they had received the light. They had received the truth of God's word. And Jesus did not come, again, to look at the past. And it's a wonderful thing to look back at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but understand, throughout His life, He was looking forward to what He was going to do. And the Bible says, even as He looked at the cross, willing to endure the cross and despise the shame for the joy that was set before Him. Now the point is this, Jesus came as light in a dark world. He didn't leave here and take the light with Him. He came here to bring the light, and He gave us the light. And He made us the light. And the Bible says now we are the light of the world. He said to the apostles, you need to go and you need to proclaim truth. And don't take your light and hide it under a bushel. Don't do that. Might burn up the bushel. He said, you know, don't hide it under a bushel where nobody can see the light. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God wants us to bear the light. God wants us to move forward, to live for Him. Philippians chapter 2 tells us how we are to bear that light. It tells us, it's a very brief synopsis of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse 1. It says this, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love. He's saying, look, what I want you to do, he's writing to this Philippian church, he's saying, I want you to be united in the way you think. Fulfill ye my joy. He said, make me happy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. That is, be united. Be in one accord. Think the same things. He writes to them and he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Don't get upset if somebody's trying to take, you think somebody's trying to take your position or somebody's not doing right or somebody's trying to push themselves forward. Don't worry about any of that. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Within the local church, let's think of others and do what we can to exalt others. Do what we can to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Let's do what we can to promote other people. Look not every man on his own things. Don't look at what you're going to get out of a situation, but every man also on the things of others. Think about what you can do to advance others. Think about what you can do to help others. You know, one thing about Christmas is this, and people always talk about it. You hear even the secular songs talking about, oh, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Why is it things are so happy at Christmas time? Why is there joy, you know, except for those that are continually depressed about everything? You know, it's Christmas time, I'm just depressed. I mean, if I was like a checker at Walmart, maybe I would be depressed too. It's the busiest time of the year, and you got to run here, and you got to run there, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. We were out shopping today, little nutso crazy things. Who waits till the day before Christmas to go shopping? I do. John Brenniger said me. How many nuts are in here? Would you raise your hand? All right, good to see. It's nice to be amongst friends. Maybe I'll see you out there today, tomorrow, because I'll be back out tomorrow. Look not every man on his own thing. What makes it? What the world doesn't understand this, but what makes the season so joyous is people get their mind off of themselves and what I'm going to get out of this and what I'm going to do, and they get their mind on getting something for Aunt Mary and getting something for Susie and getting something for, I got to get something for them and I got to get something for them, and they start focusing, even if it's, well, I got to get something for them because they got me something last year. I don't care. It gets your mind off of you and you're focused on somebody else other than yourself and your problems and your aches and your pains and your emotional problems and your physical problems and your financial problems, and you're even thinking about, hey, what can I do and how much more can I borrow in order to get somebody something else. And by the way, be careful about that. The fact of the matter is, what makes the season wonderful, what makes it wonderful isn't the sleigh bells. Well, isn't the snow. We went up to see, we have the teen retreat. And we just had it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday today. They just came back. It's wonderful to go up there. There was 97 teenagers. I think there's a total about, how many? About 120, 130 people that were up there. You get up there and you get in a room about, it's really great, get 100 kids in a room about the size of this platform. And then you just preach to them. Man, it's just great. They can't go anywhere. What we do is we circle them around. And so you're dead center in the middle of them and you're just preaching to them. So everywhere you look, there's teenagers. You're just hoping there's not an uprising. But it's a wonderful thing, and I was only up there, frankly, for about 2 or 3 hours this time. I went up to preach one time, then went back up to preach another time. But man, it's great to see those kids love the Lord, want to serve the Lord with a heart, singing songs and it's a great thing to see our young people. But what, again, the thing that makes the season isn't, I was going to say, it's not the snow. I got up there yesterday afternoon. I said, I'm not coming back up there if it's snowing. Matthew calls me up about 4 o'clock. I'm supposed to speak at 5. He said, it's not snowing, Dad. You coming? I said, yes, I'm coming. So I got in the car and zoomed up there. And I get up there, and it's snowing on 95. And so I'm thinking, man, it's really going to get back. But I got past where it was snowing on 95, and it was clear all the way up. I got all the way up there. I thought, great, then I'll have no problem getting back down. I went in there. I preached for 1 hour. I got back down. That's what you get for being long-winded. I came on my way, it's a blizzard coming down. I mean, there's snow everywhere. There's nobody around. I'm thinking, there's no cell phone, nothing. It's just coming down, and my wife's saying, first she's saying to me, don't go too fast, and then I'm like panic. You know, you try to act cool about this whole thing, got the whole thing under control, don't worry about it. And she's saying, isn't it beautiful? Isn't it gorgeous? I'm thinking, we're going to die. Nobody can. Nobody knows where we are. Nobody can call us. There's no cell phone. Nobody can say, hey, we're, you know, and I'm going to be the one out here. And what was he doing? What's he thinking? When they find our bodies cold and stiff. It's not the snow, and it's not the season. It's the heart of giving that is reflected during Christmas time. It's the heart of giving that came when the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for us. So Paul here says, don't look every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. You want to have the attitude of Christmas all year long in your life? Then have the attitude of thinking of other people and giving to other people and benefiting other people all year long. Now look what he says. Let this mind be in you. He gives the example of this. He says, I want you to see the greatest example of giving that there is in the Word of God. I want you to see the greatest example of giving yourself and giving everything in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The attitude of giving, the attitude of thinking about other people above yourself, this true attitude of love, was in Christ Jesus. He said, start thinking the way Jesus did. When he says, let this mind be in you, he's saying, let you start thinking the way Jesus did. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, that is, he was God in form. He was in everything there was. He is God. He was God. There's no question about what he means here, in the English or in the Greek. He's very, very clear. Jesus Christ was God in form. He was just as much God as God the Father or God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is God. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The idea is it wasn't something that he grasped at. There are people in business, there are people in politics, there are people in the local church who are grasping for a position of power. They're looking for, they're looking to be recognized. They're looking for something. They want a position of authority. They want to be in a position where they're recognized. They want something. It is that the idea here in the King James language is it's robbery. They'll do whatever they can to get it for themselves. Okay? It's something they're grasping at. And God says, Paul says, it wasn't something that Jesus had to grasp at to become like God. Why? Because he was God. The Pharisees said, you make yourself God. No, he didn't. He is God. He didn't have to make himself anything. The Bible says in just a minute we'll see that he was made in the likeness of man. He didn't have to make himself God. He was God. And the Bible says, who being in the form of God, it wasn't something he grasped at to be equal with God, but the Bible says, he made himself of no reputation. What people thought about him was not the important thing. He was going to do something to rescue you. You were going to hell. He didn't want you to go to hell. And he said, no matter what I need to do, no matter what people think of me, I'm going to go and I'm going to rescue Bill Barrett. I'm going to rescue James Webb. I'm going to rescue Don Tatum. I'm going to rescue Steve Haig. I'm going to rescue Arnie Becker. I'm going to rescue that person. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what people think. I'm going. And so he laid aside what we call the independent use of his attributes. He said, I'm taking all of the glory of heaven and I'm laying it aside. And I'll not allow my glory to be shown unless the Holy Spirit directs my glory to be shown. I'll lay aside all my power. The power of God dwelt in him, but he said, I will not use the power of God unless the Holy Spirit tells me to. I'm laying all of that aside to be obedient to the will of God the Father. The Bible says, he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. Imagine this. This is God Almighty becoming in the form of a servant and made in the likeness of man. He looked and acted and walked and talked like man and suffered everything that man would suffer, felt everything that man would feel, did all of that. He actually became man so that he could suffer everything that we've suffered, and so that as a man, since it was man that chose to sin, a man had to pay the penalty of our sin. And so as a man, he would pay the penalty of our sin. The Bible says, and being found in fashion as a man, fashioned first as a babe in a manger, growing up in the household of a carpenter, visited it too at somewhere between an infancy and 2 years old, and visited by wise men, dedicated in the temple, visiting with his parents as a 12-year-old in Jerusalem. And from that point on, we don't know anything that happened in his life. Everything else is just speculation until he's 30 years old, where he presents himself as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. He goes for 3.5 years doing nothing but kind things, thinking never about himself, walking miles to touch people's lives and to care about people, not thinking about himself, not thinking about what would be good for him. When his disciples came to him and said, we want to follow you, he said, are you sure about that? Well, of course. He said, listen, the birds have nests, and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You sure you want to follow me? You sure this is something you want to do? And 12 of them followed him. One would be a traitor. The Bible says, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. All he did was serve, and he became obedient. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It'd be one thing to say, okay, you have to suffer death. You just have to go down there and die. And just die a normal death. But no, God the Father said, you've got to suffer the death of the cross. The most agonizing, torturous death that anybody could ever face. The Bible says that he was willing to do that. He was willing to do that. The Bible says, listen, remember the beginning of this? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How far is too far when it comes to saying, well, I'm not going to push myself forward. I'm going to be a servant. How far is too far? For Jesus, there was nothing too far. He went to the cross. Can you say amen to that? He willingly suffered and died. You say, how far is too far for me? There's nothing too far. As a husband, you should say, I want to be a servant to my wife. As a wife, you should say, I want to be a servant to my husband. As a mother or father, you should say, I want to be a servant to my children. As a neighbor, you should say, I want to be a servant to my neighbors. As a friend, you should say, I want to be a servant to to my friends. In school, you say, I want to be a servant to my fellow students. I want to be a servant to my teachers. As a teacher, you want to be a servant to your students. As a businessman, you want to be a servant to those you serve. You want as an employee, you want to be a servant to your boss. As a customer, you want to be a servant to the people that are trying to help you. You want to be a servant, servant, servant. My highest aim as a Christian should be not to get something, but to give my life in service to others. By the way, Jesus said this, unless you learn that, then you're not going to gain life. Because if you hold on to life, you'll lose it. But if you learn to give your life away, you'll gain life. Jesus did that. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You say, well, where did that get him? Look in verse 9. The Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Listen to me. 2,000 years ago, there was a man in Jerusalem. His name was Pontius Pilate. He was the most well-known man in Jerusalem at that time. He was exalted by the emperor of the world to be in that position that he was, that he was in. Anybody celebrating his birthday? Nope. Nobody even knows when he was born. Nobody knows when he died. They just know he's dead. I want you to understand there was an emperor who ruled the world. Caesar was ruling the world. Nobody's celebrating his birthday. Nobody cares. I mean, is it just words on a page? That God had, therefore, because he was obedient and he let his light shine and he did, he served, he lived and served others. He served others for 3.5 years. He served people and then they crucified him and they put him on a cross. Is it just words that God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name? No. I want you to understand, all over the world, 2 days from now and within the next couple of weeks, because some people celebrate this at different times, all over the world, the name of Jesus Christ will be exalted and people will celebrate his birth after 2,000 years. If somebody remembers your birthday 3 days after you're dead, you'd be like the most popular guy in the world. But 2,000 years later, his name is exalted, and I'll tell you why. Because he was not just an ordinary man. He was God in human flesh. And because, the Bible says, he lived the life of a servant and he was an example to you and me. He came and he lit the light. The Bible says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God wants us to understand that Jesus is exalted. God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ to show us an example. And the example is this, that in the midst of a dark, dark, dark world, we need to shine as lights. In the midst of a dark world, you can shine as light because Jesus Christ did. And he showed us this, that if you shine to the point that you die shining and serving, that your light won't burn out. 2,000 years later, people will still be celebrating your birth. We need to follow him, and we need to understand when he left you and me to be lights. He left you and me to shine for him. And we need to understand that the greatest joy we'll have in life is following his example, thinking the way he thought, living to serve others, living to serve God first, then other people, and walking in obedience to God. The key to joy and contentment in the Christian life is very simply saying, Lord Jesus, I'm here to do what you want me to do. I want to be your servant. I want to serve you. I hope that during this Christmas season that you'll think about it. You'll think about the fact that the Lord Jesus left everything to come here to serve you so that he could be the light of the world. And he's left us to be a light. We're here to serve. We're here to minister to others. We're here to do for others. Let's reach our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, starting with our children, starting with our spouse, starting with those that are around us. Let's show the light of Jesus Christ. Try to be compassionate. Try to be caring. Don't take for granted those that are closest to you. Christmas time, when you're getting the Christmas presents and you're doing all that, love those that are closest to you, and then let that love expand to everyone around you. Let me say this, if you're visiting with us tonight, let me say this, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you so much that he came to this earth as a man, God in human flesh. He came here for one reason, because he loved you and he wanted you to get to heaven. And he knew that there was no way you could personally work your way to heaven. He knew there was nothing you could do to get yourself to heaven. So he became a man. And what he did is he took care of something that was separating you from God. What was separating you from God was your sin. Your sin and my sin separate us from God. And so your sin has to be paid for. It has to be removed. So Jesus Christ came to this earth and he suffered and he died and he paid, when he did that, the penalty of your sin and my sin on the cross. He was buried, he rose from the dead, and he went back to heaven after being seen by hundreds of people. He went back to heaven. Now the Bible says this, if you'll come to him and say, yes, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that you're God, and I know you died in my place to pay for my sin, and right now I want to call on you and ask you to be my Lord and Savior and God. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can go to heaven, not because you're good, not because you're a Catholic, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, whatever. You can know you're going to heaven if you'll say to Jesus Christ, yes, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. I believe that you're God, and I believe you died in my place to pay for my sin, and you put your faith and trust in what he did for you. If you've never done that, I encourage you to do that and then live your life for the glory of God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. I just want to ask a couple of questions. My first question is this. Do you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? If you do, would you slip up your hand as a testimony to that? Hold it up real high for just a moment. Thank you. You can put it down. Now, there were hands all over this auditorium. And the reason they were up isn't because they think they're proud and you can know you're going to heaven. You got to be awful cocky, no? The reason they could raise their hand is because they put their faith and trust in Christ. They've admitted they were sinners and they don't deserve to go to heaven, and they've put their faith in what Jesus did for them. Maybe you say, I'd like to do that tonight. I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to know that. I'd like to put my faith in Jesus Christ tonight. And by an uplifted hand, you'd say, preacher, pray for me. I didn't raise my hand a minute ago, but I'd like to raise my hand right now. I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me. Anybody like that? Would you slip up your hand? Let me pray for you. Okay, I see that hand back there. I'll pray for you. Anybody else? I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Anybody? Anybody at all? Okay, I see that hand over there. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? I don't know for sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Okay, then Christian, let me ask you this. Would you just say to the Lord, Lord, it's Christmas time. You gave yourself for me. Lord, I want to present myself again to you. I want to be the servant you want me to be. Forgive me for thinking about myself and not about others. Just say, Lord, help me to be the servant that you want me to be, that I might be the light that you want me to be. Just between you and the Lord, would you do that? Would you do that? Maybe you'd say, preacher, by an uplifting hand, you'd say, you know, God spoke to me. Pray for me, preacher, that I might be the servant God wants me to be. If that's you tonight, would you slip up your hand? Let me pray for you. I see hands all over. All over. You can put your hands down. This would be a great night, 2 days before Christmas. If God spoke to your heart, you'd like to talk to somebody, if you'd like to just pray, you can come to this altar and just say, Lord, I want to give myself to you again at Christmas time. Just want to say, Lord, I'm yours. You can use me any way you want. Maybe you're here and you've been saved, but you haven't been baptized and you haven't joined the church, and you'd say, Preacher, I need to present myself for that. I can't get baptized tonight, but maybe you say, Preacher, I need to get baptized, I need to join the church, and would you pray with me about that? Anybody like that? I'd like to pray for you. Okay, back in the back, yes. All right, we're going to have an invitation. If you'd like to talk to somebody about that, you come. If you just like to kneel and pray, you come. If you just need to talk to somebody about anything, you come. If you just need to pray, you come. While we have this invitation time, let's stand together as we pray.